Today on a mystifying episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Why is it that some people seem to have abilities to sense danger and evil in this world that the rest of us can't see? Until it's far too late. That's the question one man asks himself, where from a very young age, he was able to seemingly predict future events around him and eventually see the murder of a loved one while having no way to stop the horrible tragedy from taking place. Is this a blessing? Or could it be a curse? We examine this story and many others today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, it does happen to be that. Welcome to the show. If you want to share your story, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call that number, 855-853-4802, and share it with us. And if you like the program, you want access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, get all of that. It's only $5 a month when you become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of that. We do greatly appreciate that support. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Carol.
So I wanted to mention something, and I think I should have done this last week, and we never did.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our listeners, June, reached out to me and she's like, hey, I've been working on, you know, doing some readings of people and mm-hmm. I want to do a reading with you.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say to everybody, thank you to June. I wanted everybody to hear that. It was very interesting. And it was interesting because like there was one person I really wanted her to connect with. And like she did describe his hair really accurately.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple other things about him, which I thought was really interesting. So there was some, she definitely hit on some points in the reading that really resonated with me because I didn't want to get in touch with Doug, who I had dated and then he was killed in a car wreck and we did an episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, anybody would know him if they listened to that episode because that was like an hour of just that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to connect with my other friend Dallas, and so it was kind of interesting. So, and then she kept talking about a party, and then I'm like, well, you know, there's a picture of me and Dallas that's about 5 feet away from where I'm sitting doing this podcast,
mm-hmm.
and it's Dallas and I at my 29th birthday party, which was so last year, or not, but. So I thought that was interesting because she kept thinking, you know, she kept saying there's a party around you. There's a party. And the person I wanted to connect with, there's a picture of us at a party.
That's interesting.
So that was kinda cool.
That is.
But the other cool thing that happened the entire time that was going on, because I can see out my kitchen window from here and I don't have a big fancy studio like Tony. I'm just sitting at my dining room table as my cats are playing around me and my dog is right there.
I'm wearing silk right now and my walls are covered in mahogany and cashmere.
As you're smoking a cigar.
Yes, I'm smoking something.
Out of your humidor.
Yes, exactly.
And you're right there by your wine cellar that's right next to your studio.
I'm sipping 1989 Krug. Champagne as we do the show tonight.
Well, I'm having a beer.
Petting my pet dog, Snuckles. Snuckles!
So what I thought was really cool, though, because I faced this window and my lilac bush was in bloom then, and it's a big bush, and you can see the flowers from in the kitchen, which is cool. So I like to leave the window open as long as I can during the day.
Yeah.
And the entire time she was doing the reading, there was hummingbirds around that bush. And I've never seen hummingbirds before that day, and I haven't seen hummingbirds since. But the entire hour we were talking, there was hummingbirds out there the whole time.
So when things like that happen, do you think it's like a ghostly hummingbird, or do you think like the hummingbirds were possessed by dead people and that moved them over there? Or is it something just giving you a sign that they're there? Like, I don't know how they're manipulating the hummingbirds to go there. But I don't know. The universe is kind of doing its thing.
I mean, weird shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, when you need to see things, they're there. You know, sometimes, like, you know, because some people like cardinals. We've talked about cardinals before. Yep. And cardinals isn't really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're gorgeous, though. That red color.
Yeah.
I like finding pennies. But like, it was weird because I had even talked with somebody a couple days before about hummingbirds. And I'm like, I want hummingbirds to come to my house. So do I need, we're talking about what kind of feeder I need to get, what kind of, because I just wanted to put the feeder out so my it could taunt my cat.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, like 2 days after I'd said that, we're doing this reading and I'm watching hummingbirds the entire time. Haven't seen one since. But now, of course, I couldn't see one now because there's no flowers out there off that window. But it was really cool.
It is.
It was really cool. So I just wanted to say thank you to June. That was very nice.
She reached out to me to do one and she gave me a whole bunch of dates and honestly, none of them worked. And I replied back, I'm sorry, like none of these work. And I haven't heard back yet. So, but I want to do it. I just,
she'll find some more dates. She's really nice.
Yeah.
And no, she's called into the show before too.
Yeah, I want to do it. I'm very interested.
I can't remember if she called in or wrote in, but anyway, we've shared her.
Yeah. Stories. No, I want to get a reading. I'm kind of excited about that.
But she's practicing on it because she's been taking a class.
I don't know.
For lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. I think that's what she called it.
Okay.
But she's been studying with somebody, which I never thought of doing that.
What if you you do a reading and there's like a lot of dark shit for the person and you're just starting out and you're really kind of wanting to, you know, be positive? I mean, do you say like, oh my God, there's a very dark cloud?
Well, back in the day when I read tarot cards all the time, and there was sometimes that I would see things that are really dark, but you know, you could kind of, if you saw darkness coming in their future, it could be, you could take it like, we're doing this reading right now, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you this is out there, so be careful or be aware of this and put that on your radar, maybe, you know, something you could watch out for. Because a lot of times, you know, all the cards could be, you know, upside, they could be reversed, they could be right side up, it could be depending on where they lay out. But I just had a real problem, like, oh my God, you're gonna die. But you could also see there's some negative things coming into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can spin it in a way that doesn't totally freak people out, but more like, I'm gonna prepare you for this.
You're fucked.
You are so you're going broke.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that.
Your dog's going to disappear and they're going to find him 4 years later living in northeastern Wisconsin with the guy from Making a Murderer in a junk lot after he gets removed from prison.
And you will be so happy to have your dog back.
And that
you
dog.
You will apologize forever.
Dog's never going to be the same again.
That would be so sad. Oh my God, you put a horrible thought. Like, what if something happened to Buddy like that?
Like the people from Making a Murderer abduct Buddy?
Oh, that would be horrible.
I wonder what the odds are on that. That can't be very good.
I wouldn't think very good, but still.
Yeah.
Don't put that thought in the universe. The guy's 16.4 months old. Like,
yeah. Not up for an abduction by an alleged killer, or I don't even know where. How did that? Is he still in jail? Did that ever like? Did he get out? I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm gonna hope he's still in jail.
No, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, "My name is Charles. I'm in charge. I'm from a small town in West Virginia. I'm 31 now, but since I could remember as a child, I sometimes could see things that at the time didn't make any sense." Between the ages of 5 to 7, my family and I lived in a trailer in a hollow, and I remember I would be playing outside and would look up to see what looked like a man with deformed features walk across the yard. At the time, my older cousin was dating a guy who became part of our lives, and sometimes when he would come to visit and talk with my dad, I'd often see a demonic form walking through the house. At the time, I didn't know what it was, and no one else would see it, so I thought I was just seeing things. Now that I look back on it, I do believe it was a demon, and it was attached to my cousin's boyfriend, even though nothing ever seemed out of the ordinary with this man. That was until the winter of 1998 into 99. My family had moved out of the Hollow. We're living in a house a few miles away. During that winter, things had taken a dark turn. My cousin was 22 years old, still living with her boyfriend. They stopped to see my parents, and after a while, they went home. That evening, my parents were getting ready to go see my cousin, but another family member came to visit unannounced, delaying my parents to go see my cousin. During this time, my family member's visit, the phone rang. It was my grandmother calling to let my parents know that my cousin was murdered by her boyfriend, who also took his own life. Fast forward to 2005, my dad passed away April 4th, 2005 at 42, and I started experiencing feelings of not being, and I believe it may have been my dad, but never experienced anything else except for the feeling of not being alone in the house. My mom and I and my sisters moved out of the house in 2007. It was not until I graduated in 09 and moved back into the house that those feelings started up again. I never saw my dad's ghost, but one of the previous tenants of the house saw a man standing in the doorway of the bedroom the night before the tenant was rushed to the hospital for a heart attack. And when asked what the figure he saw looked like, he described my dad. Coincidentally, my grandpa passed away April 4th, 2016, which was the 11th anniversary of my dad's passing, which both dates were on a Monday. A lot of other odd things I remember, but I'll write about those later. Anyway, I enjoy the show, and I'm going to join to become an EPP very soon. Thanks, and have a good day. Thoughts on all that?
I have a couple. Number one, what is a hollow?
Do I have them
around me?
Is that like kind of like a holler or a valley?
I would guess.
A valley? I think it's a valley. That would be my guess. I don't know.
We probably have some small valleys.
No, you don't. It's Kansas. It's all flat.
Well, what constitutes a valley?
Elevation that changes more than 3 feet.
I would say the Flint Hills maybe has some valleys.
Yeah, I'd say over there it does. Yeah, but where you're at, it's all flat.
No valleys. Okay, yeah, yeah. So there's probably no hollows.
Yeah, there's no hollows.
It was interesting because there's really a couple totally different things going on there.
Yeah.
The one with the boyfriend, which is horrific, but kind of getting a dark feeling around him, mm-hmm. which makes sense to me. Like, I totally think that you can pick up on people's energy, and people who are that messed up who can do something like that. Mm-hmm. I think you could pick up on that.
Yeah, totally.
And I would think I would like to think that you could pick up on that more often than what we probably can. I think some people are pretty good at disguising it, but people who are sensitive to people's energy, I think it would be hard to hide that.
Does anybody ever get like satanic tattoos and then life kind of gets better later on and they look back and going, oh, those were the good old days back when we were doing the satanic shit? You know? Or is that always kind of like can you make this pentagram like roses and a thing that says mom on it or something?
Oh, God, I would think that would happen all the time.
Yeah.
My nephew is a tattoo artist, and he's had to cover up some pretty freaky shit.
Like, what's the worst? Bodies. What's the worst? What have you heard?
I'll find out. I'll ask him what the worst is.
That would be an interesting story right there.
Like, there was a TV show that I don't know if it's still on, but it was basically tattoo cover-ups. Mm-hmm. And the most number of people got drunk and got a tattoo on a dare or something. But, you know, there's people who have, like, these evil tattoos that then it's like then they found Jesus. It's like, I gotta get this thing's gotta go.
Yeah.
But if you do, like say you did find Jesus and you have that, can you really ever cover it up? Because it's always underneath.
I mean,
you know, it would be like, I know underneath that the devil is there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there would always be a deeper ink stain in your, you know, in you to that form than anything that you cover it up with or put right next to it, you know?
Yeah, it's one thing if you get like you know, on a dare, you get somebody's face tattooed on you and you get that covered up. And it's like, oh, the Fred Flintstone tattoo.
And I don't know that they
get it covered up.
Yeah.
But then the other weird thing about that story, so the dad died and then he felt, or she felt, like somebody was following him around the house, and then somebody else moved in and then they had a heart attack. Like, was that implied that the dad brought the heart attack on?
It was the numerology of it was interesting, is what the point was on that. Okay. Because it was the same date as the other one, 11 years to the day.
Okay.
So there wasn't necessarily an implication of what.
Okay, because I got a little confused thinking that the dad had something to do with it.
No.
Okay.
No.
God, because I was like, dang, I wouldn't, like, that would be a really bad feeling thinking that your dad caused that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, that makes some sense then.
Yeah. So, I mean, the numerology was interesting. I find that numerology to be very interesting and compelling. I don't know. I mean,
it doesn't seem like it should make sense.
But sometimes it does. And yeah. Like there, the one I was just trying to find this the other day. Where is it? Let's see if I can find the info on it very quickly. The Tupac numerology stuff. Do you ever look at that?
No.
There was a lot of, here we go. Okay. Tupac was gunned down exactly 7 months after the All Eyes on Me. I should go up to the top here. Album, the Don Kilmanati, The 7 Day Theory, this album was released around the time of Tupac Shakur's death. It was released like a couple weeks after. The number 7 keeps popping up now. The numerological coincidences are very strange. Here's a lot of them. Tupac was gunned down exactly 7 months after All Eyes on Me was released. He was shot on September 7th, survived the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and died on the 13th, 7 days. Tupac Shakur was 25 years old. So, you know, 2 plus 5. His age adds up. Even his time of death, 403, adds to 7. Have his brand of a new double album, Are You Still Down? Was released. Okay, that was released on a certain, I think, 403 or something. On November 25th, rather. So 2 plus 5. Other ones on track 5 of the Machiavelli album, The Voice of the Beginning says, and the Lord returns in the coming 7 days. Then we'll see you next time. First video released of Are You Still Down was Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto. In the video, when Tupac and another lady go into a hotel room, they very clearly show the hotel room number 7 on the door. There's a couple others, too. It's very interesting that number 7, there's a lot of things. There was something like in, I think Above the Rim or one of the movies he was in, his cell number, adds to 7. There's so many weird things.
So I get that everything kind of adds up to 7.
Yeah.
But what is the significance of 7?
Well, what does it mean? Yeah. Well, the album is called The 7 Day Theory. And in this album, he changed his name to Machiavelli on it, which was, it was a Spanish, conqueror or something, who faked his death. And always talked about keeping enemies closer, than friends, and just very strategic in everything that he did. A lot of things that actually he had rapped about for quite some time. And so that's where a lot of the initial fake this death conspiracy theories kind of came up, was that. And there was a lot of imagery of Tupac from music video shoots and things of that nature right before he died, where he was dead. He was getting killed. He was in heaven. He was on a cross. He was is getting shot in one of them, in all of these right before he died. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I've always been fascinated with it. If he faked it, I don't think he's ever coming out of it, because he's probably enjoying things too much wherever the hell he's at. But
I don't think he faked it.
I don't.
Do you think he faked it?
I don't, but I just wonder where does this all tie together? Because this is just too weird. I did for a while back in the 90s and early 2000s. I thought maybe.
Turn of the century.
Yeah, around then, but that kind of lost Yeah, lost it after that. But I don't know. Still a very fascinating one to look at. 855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. It's Olivia. I told you about the weird spirit in one of my classes in college, and I have another one to tell, but it's something different. I hope you can hear me while I'm driving to the airport as we speak. So I went to, on the weekend with my boyfriend, to go meet his family at, over the Easter weekend. And I remember talking to his aunt and his mother. We were talking about Christianity, and it kind of got onto the topic of angels and demons, because we were just like, I don't know, we were just talking about it. And I asked him, do you think you guys have, you know, guardian angels, or do you think there's like evil that follows you? Because some people have these things. It's like, I know a person, he's not Christian, he doesn't believe in this stuff, but he's had something evil follow him throughout his most of his life. I don't want to share, I don't feel like it would be right of me to share the story, but you know, like, it's just knowing people who have dealt with these things is interesting. I'm getting a little off topic here. I'm sorry. It's like 5 in the morning here, and I'm driving. I was taking 2 exams yesterday to the airport, so I'm a little out of it. But back to what I was saying, when I was talking to them, his aunt brought up a story. He's like, I never told you this. And she looked at his mom, their siblings, and she's like, really, what is it? She's like, well, before you were born, because they're 10 years apart, she said she was in the hospital. I can't recall why, but it was something like she had something going on where she was like in a near-death like moment. But she said that when she was laying there, she felt dazed. Like, she said that she remembers this tall, kind of big, like black man who had like a gentle smile on his face, wearing a red velvet suit, come in. And he like put something in, like, you know, her IV bag, and he just smiled at her and grabbed her hand and, you know, squeezed it a bit, as if he's like saying, like, you're gonna be okay. And he walked away and left. Not only did she see this man, but her mother, who was fully awake, just in a reading magazine, saw this man come in. And the next morning, she felt so much better. She felt like a brand new person, like as if like overnight everything that she just, you know, suffered from was gone. And she asked the nurse, she's like, who was the black man in the red suit here last night? Like, I don't recall ever seeing anybody wear this type of outfit ever, and I don't think I've ever seen him before. Like, who is he? I want to, you know, ask him what he did to make me feel better. And the nurses looked at her and they're like, we have no idea who you're talking about. We have no recollection of a man in a red suit coming in. We would have known and documented at the time that he came in, but we never saw anybody. And the mom, her mom was like, wait, no, I saw him too. Are you sure you didn't see anybody? And they're like, no. It was honestly, like, it gave me chills, but like good chills. Like, wow. Like, the fact that, you know, her own mother, who is not sick, is fully, like, you know, all right, is sitting there just reading a magazine casually, sees a random man come in and, you know, change something in her daughter's IV and leave. And then the daughter's better, and the nurses are saying, we don't know who you're talking about. That is clearly a sign that there is another entity that is on this earth that looks out for, like, people like us. So I just found that really intriguing. And my boyfriend, who is more of a, how do I say this? He's more left brain. Not that I'm saying that all people who are believers and whatnot are like right brains, but he goes by facts and the book. He doesn't believe in ghosts. He believes in angels and demons, but he doesn't think that, you know, they do anything that will come into our lives. He doesn't believe the Ouija board can cause harm. He doesn't believe that I don't know. He's weird about it. He always says it's the wind or it was just a dream, but he does respect my stories. And he says, I'm sure something happened to you. It's just whenever I talk to him about stuff that other people have been through, he's like, I don't know about that. But anyway, but he was shocked hearing the story because, you know, he usually tries to be like, well, maybe like it was just like he tries to find a reason to it, but he couldn't name anything. And I was like, there is a reason for you to talk right now. Like his, like, you know, your aunt's mother literally saw something and she was perfectly fine. That's like as if I was sick and you were sitting in the room just checking in on me and seeing this random person come in and doing this and leaving. And, you know, like you can't explain that. You can't, you know, debunk anything. Sometimes you just got to leave these type of things alone and just, you know, realize there's no answer to it. And so I think he respected his aunt and he respected the story. Like after I talked to him a little later, I'm like, I think like, you know, this just happens. I mean, another small story. My sister, it sounds really harsh, but she's okay. She was hit by a car. I was like 10 at the time and she recalled because this car thought that they could cut in front of a semi and the semi hit the car and it spun out of control and it hit my sister and smashed her into the, street lamp or whatever. She said she recalled feeling a sudden push on her back. She felt stuck and it was almost as if like somebody came up and shoved her out of the way. And she feels like it was her guardian angel or our grandfather protecting her because I feel like my grandfather checks in once in a while, but I'll feel like somebody's there. And sometimes I'll hear like a sudden, like, you know, like in the room or just like a cough or just a, weird, like something, you know, clearing up the throat. It's very masculine. So I feel like it's my grandfather checking in on us. I believe it was a guardian angel, but I also feel like my grandfather could have done it. Anyway, sorry, my story's a little everywhere and I'm just giving my own input on everything, but I just found that story from my boyfriend's aunt, like, fascinating, like, beautiful, like, you know, piece of, like, God's work here, personally, as a Christian, to know that there are guardian angels in the world that protect us from harm, you know, every day.
I think I know who it was that came in there in the red.
I have a theory too.
And the red, was it crushed velvet suit?
She said red velvet suit.
Yep. It was Bruno Mars.
Oh, I was thinking it was somebody from the OJs. One of the OJs came in.
I think they left the door open and, you know, all of a sudden, you know.
And it was a Bruno Mars from Silksonic, Bruno Mars.
I got that. Put the stuff in the drip.
Then I walked out of the room. I think that's a really interesting story. I mean, it's weird. It's weird that it would be some guy in a red velvet suit would come in and put something in the IV, did she say?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, who are you?
No one would
be putting something in your IV, wouldn't be dressed in scrubs or like a doctor's coat.
I don't know. I mean, if I could, like, if I worked at a doctor's office and I was doing that sort of stuff and they said, okay, it's casual Friday, I'd probably wear something like that.
My
red velvet suit. Walking into people's rooms with sunglasses on, not addressing anyone, just doing my shit and slowly leaving.
And then leaving and being like, hey, I got you, babe.
That's it.
Because you got to be charming at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would assume the reason they didn't question him was because he was charming. I just think that's interesting that both of them would see it and it wouldn't be like, you would say, what are you doing? Like, who are you? Why are you? Yeah. I would be highly suspicious of some guy in a red velvet suit coming in.
Well, I think it's a lovely.
Maybe I'd be like, I love this doctor.
You're like, wow, you
I
really
love any doctor
dress,
that dresses like this.
Like, you dress so unique. And just, like, there's no doctor here that was wearing red velvet. But who's the person who came in here that did this? Oh, God, that's Lenny. He lives in the dumpster out back. He must have found another Gatorade and thought he was a doctor again.
I like thinking it's one of the OJs. Yeah. That'd be awesome. I'd be like, you stop by anytime. And then when she was talking about the sister being pushed out of the way, like, I totally 100% believe that stuff happens. But then she said a guardian angel or the grandpa. And I'm like, but your grandpa could be the guardian angel.
Yeah.
You know, could be one and the same. Like, I like to think, as we've discussed many times, that that's the role my dad plays now. Mm-hmm. And I would like to think that's the role her grandpa plays.
Wouldn't it be cool if he was wearing a crushed red velvet suit all the time?
Oh, my God, yes. That'd be so awesome.
That would be great. Yeah.
That would be great.
Very, very interesting story. And thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And help keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.